This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
$190,000 New Yorkers were about to face eviction in the next 2 months. $190,000, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, in the next 2 months. Not the next year, the next 2 months just in New York. New Yorkers. That's it. And so the governor called a special session, a special legislative session. And that happened this week in the state of New York. Hochul, she, governor, she called it. And I tried to watch this session. I watched a lot of this stuff. It was painful. They were making jokes between themselves, and you could hear only part of it. It was on the Senate's website. But ultimately, there was a Senate vote, an assembly vote. Ultimately, there was a vote about eviction moratorium. So we joined the eviction moratorium roller coaster yet again. Just last week, we told you about how the U.S. Supreme Court struck out the Centers for Disease Control moratorium, the federal moratorium, the one that said you couldn't evict federally based on high or substantial COVID rates in different communities. Gone. Goodbye. See you later. Sayonara. There was four states that had moratorium left. New York's was done. Now, some dummies were telling me New York still had a moratorium until earlier this week. They said they still had a moratorium because technically it was still in effect. But as our brilliant Leslie Mendoza, who's with us again, told you before, 2 weeks before the U.S. Supreme Court struck the moratorium from the CDC, the federal one, they struck the whole key to the New York one. Let me back up. New York's been having moratoriums on evictions, on foreclosures. What does a moratorium mean? I think that's a fundamental question. You can't evict and you can't foreclose in New York. That was kind of what was going on. Residential, commercial. There was different ways we got there. The latest one until today, the latest one until this week, the latest one until now said, hey, if a tenant self-declared, they decided on their own that they qualified for this protection from getting evicted. If a tenant said, hey, there's a law that protects me and you can't evict me, then on their own, the tenant was able to avoid eviction. That was the law. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, that's crazy. In lawyer words, they said, where's the due process? And for anyone that doesn't know what due process means, it means everyone gets a say. Let's hear it out. Let's have a judge. Let's decide. Let's not let one side self-declare themselves to win. That's just crazy talk. Imagine that we did criminal trials like that. The defendant said, hey, look, I'm innocent. And then he walked out.
I didn't do it.
So the U.S. Supreme Court said, goodbye. Sayonara. It was no longer a moratorium. That was about 2.5 weeks ago, I want to say. And then the official date that it expired was this past week. It just expired. It just expired, the moratorium. I think it was Tuesday night. Is that true, Leslie?
August 31st.
Yeah, August 31st. I think it was Tuesday night. And it officially expired. Somehow, this became the sense of urgency, not the 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, when the U.S. Supreme Court had struck it down. In technical legal mumbo jumbo, we were doing evictions in my law firm after the U.S. Supreme Court struck it down. And we were putting in our applications that the moratoriums were struck down, thrown out, sayonara, goodbye, adios, peace out from the U.S. Supreme Court. And we used all those terms, just so you know. And we said it was thrown out. But Governor Hochul, for whatever reason again, decided that Wednesday night. She signed it on Thursday. Wednesday night was going to be the night that there's a special legislative session. We're going to bring all the legislators back. She gets a vote in the Senate, 38-19. In the Assembly, 80-60. bring back the moratorium, create a new stop. And to be clear, previously there was one for commercial, there was one for residential, there was one for foreclosure, there was all these different laws. This new law, commercial, residential, foreclosure, evictions. This new law says no foreclosure, evictions, residential, commercial, till January 15th, 2021. Not 21, 22. It should be 21. It should. So, you know, I'm on the landlord side of this whole thing, and I am. I'm sorry, I am. And the reason I'm on the landlord side of this whole thing is no one's helping the landlord. I like to help the little guy. Isn't that weird when the landlord's the little guy? And don't misunderstand. I get that we shouldn't be creating homelessness. I get that people have hardships. I get that people have hard times. But we made a suggestion on the Leapcast some weeks ago, and we told you about the emergency rental assistance program. Didn't we talk about that? We talked about rental assistance. And we said there's billions, not billion, billions of dollars that's not being distributed. And what do we say, Lauren? We said the problem is that they're creating a whole new mechanism to distribute the money, new applications, new forms through the government. And what did I say? I should just be the emperor, I'm telling you. Last week, last segment, I told you I should replace Joe Rogan because I don't take the horse dewormer. I have no worms to start off with. I don't need that. I'm not debating whether I'm a horse. I'm telling you I don't have worms.
Just good to know you're not a horse. Okay.
Well, a horse is a horse, of course, isn't that how it goes? Mr. Ed? No? You don't know about Mr. Ed? He talked too. So that's what we should do. We should just make our whole show just be Mr. Ed talking. So I told you guys that I should be Joe Rogan because Spotify would have a better deal because I'm not going out with the COVID. I got the vaccine. Now I'm suggesting I should be the emperor because here's what I suggested a few weeks back. I said, hey, Governor, it was Cuomo back then. Why are you creating a whole new mechanism to distribute this $2.35 billion in New York State to tenants and landlords when you already have the eviction courts? You already have the landlord-tenant courts. What did I say? I'm telling you what I said. Let the judge decide. That's what I said.
Let the judge decide.
Because he's already seeing the tenants and he's already seeing the landlords. And when they go to court, he could say, hey, Lauren, we're not going to evict you, but you need to apply, Miss Tenant. We're pretending you're a tenant here. You need to apply to go get some of this rental assistance program to give your landlord, Leslie, her money back. And if you don't do that, then she can evict you.
I don't understand why this hasn't happened.
Well, it did happen because Governor Hochul and the Senate and the Assembly apparently listened to the Leapcast.
Ooh.
So apparently I'm on to something here. So I just want you to know. Leslie, can you break it down? Because you wrote a blog on blog.leapatlaw.com setting this forth in English, this whole thing, explaining, you know, this law is, I wanted to say 40 pages. It was like, good, just
36.
Oh, so she knows. I made her read it. I skimmed it. She went line by line. And single space, by the way, Lauren. And there's a lot to this law, and I want to go over a bunch of it. But there's two main things I want you to take away before I have Leslie break it down. Number one, evictions can and should happen. Let's start off with that. Evictions can and should happen. We're going to explain why. Number two, when the evictions can't happen, by starting the eviction when they can and should happen, you're going to end up getting the landlord rental assistance program money. Leslie, break down what I just said about how Emperor Andrew, in creating this mechanism at the courts, you bring a tenant, you have a landlord, ring, ring, ring. They say, Miss Mendoza, I've read your blog. I've seen you in the Newsday. I know you on the Leapcast. You tell everyone all about the evictions. This is what they say. And they say, I heard that you can't evict anymore. I heard you can't evict. And how
you
do you
can't evict until January 2022.
January 15th, 2022. And they say to you, not only can you not evict, but it's the tenant that gets to decide to get the rental assistance money. What should I do? What would you say to them?
So first off, just to clarify, if the tenant didn't give you a hardship declaration, you absolutely can evict right now.
So just to be clear, when you start off an eviction, you have to give them a hardship declaration. You have to say, hey, you can give a hardship, right? Let's back up even further. Leslie's saying a tenant could have unilaterally given you a statement that they say they have a hardship and then you can't evict.
Yes.
But if they didn't do that, you could start the eviction, but you have to tell them in the eviction paperwork, hey, you can say you have a hardship.
Yes. So with the eviction paperwork that you serve them before you can even start the proceeding, you have to give them a copy of that hardship declaration. And if they don't give that back to you, then you can proceed with the eviction process.
And when we say hardship declaration in English, it just means you have to say you qualify to not be evicted. There's a qualification. We're going to go into the qualification. The prior law, which Leslie's referencing when she's doing this, said the tenant could decide they qualify on their own. Now what Leslie's saying is if they give you a hardship declaration saying, hey, I qualify, I'm a tenant that qualifies, the new law says you can challenge that as a landlord and you can get a hearing where a judge decides if the tenant's qualified or not. And that's why I said you absolutely can and should start an eviction proceeding. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So the distinction between this new law and the old law is that now landlords could actually challenge the tenant's claim that they were experiencing some kind of COVID-19 hardship.
So to be able to qualify, just so we're all on the same page, the tenant has to say that their occupants or their tenants or and they're obligated to pay rent on a New York State residence. They have to say, hey, I have qualified unemployment. I had a reduction in income. I had significant costs. I experienced other financial hardship, all due directly or indirectly to COVID. I have to show I have a demonstrable risk of experience homelessness or housing instability. And the tenant has to show that they're at or below 80% of the area median income. So the high end tenants in high end properties with high end jobs are never going to get a hardship. But assuming that they claim that they get a hardship, because previously Lauren's looking at me like with a blank face. She's like, you just said all.
No, I'm thinking to myself about like tenants in the Hamptons that aren't paying their rent.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So someone says they claim that they qualify, these four qualifications. We're going to go with the fact that they probably are going to be able to say they're a tenant or occupant in New York State residence. So let's just go with, we're not going to fight them on that one. But the big ones to fight them on is number one, are they unemployed? Because if you go on their Facebook, you could see them having a job. Have they experienced a reduction in household income? Let's see what their pay stubs are, everything else. Let's see if they experienced significant costs. Let's see if they experienced other financial hardship. The key being directly or indirectly. Indirectly is very broad, so who knows if it's related to COVID. That's one thing. But again, more importantly, they also have to say they're experiencing homelessness or housing instability. So if they have, I don't know what housing instability means, so maybe they can get away with that one too. But the real challenge is to the Hamptons people you were referencing or the Manhattan people you were referencing, their household income has to be at or below 80% of the area median income, adjusted for household size. So I'm showing you three different ways to challenge it. The first one being, again, your hardship's really not a hardship. I see you working all the time. Number two, you're living in a great place right now and you're not experiencing homelessness. This was a second home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Number three, you're in the top 10% of income earners anyway. You're not in the bottom 80%. So you're out of cockamamie world in your mind in the first place to be qualifying under this. So there's ways to challenge it. So I said a second ago, Leslie, well, you said first, if they don't give you a hardship declaration in English, if they don't say, hey, I qualify, you can start the eviction.
Right.
Then you said, but the landlord needs to say, here's your rights to say you have a hardship declaration or you qualify.
Right.
Then they say, I qualify. The difference in this law, I just want to make sure I get it, is the prior law was almost automatic they qualify. Now you can say, if you're the landlord, they're full of it. You have to submit your own document to the court. But you say they're full of it. Judge, I want a hearing. And in the hearing, I want to do testimony. And I want to show you that they're full of it. And I want to go forward with the eviction. So let's assume that they're full of it. And you can go forward with the eviction. What happens next?
So when you go forward with the eviction, then it's going to be as if COVID didn't happen and you're in the same process as before.
So we can evict them.
You can, and then so you would eventually get a warrant of eviction against them.
Evictions are happening to people that are trying to fraud the system.
Right.
Absolutely. And we're showing you how to do it. The new law says you can evict. It's a very big change. You can. Now let's go over another thing. I have another question. They say they have a hardship. You don't challenge it. Can they automatically get the hardship? Or isn't it true that they also have to apply for rental assistance program directed, ordered by the judge if they're declaring a hardship?
So not necessarily. What would happen is if they file a hardship declaration and you choose not to challenge it, then the stay would apply. Usually the judge, well, now the judge is required to advise the tenant that they could apply for rental assistance.
So back to my original point, previously tenants didn't know what to do. Tenants that didn't have money didn't know what to do. Tenants that felt like they were lost didn't know what to do. Tenants that felt overwhelmed didn't know what to do. And we had this dumb system where it said, go find a government agency, apply to the government agency to pay your rent and keep you in the house. Now we have a system that says landlord starts an eviction. You tenants say you have a hardship. The court's going to give you resources and tell you how to pay your rent so you don't get evicted. Is that a good paraphrase of what's going on?
Right.
So wouldn't it still be in a landlord's best interest? It might even be better than evicting them, convincing them to go get the rental money from the $2.35 billion. Now it's $2.6 billion with this new law. This $2.6 billion, give me some of them shekels. Isn't that what? So what I'm hearing, I just want to make sure I'm on the same page. This new law says, number one, landlord, there's a route, a route, a way, a direction that you can actually throw someone, their fanny out your place. Get rid of them. Same thing for commercial as residential?
Yes.
Same thing for foreclosure?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the same mechanism where... Well,
except for commercial and foreclosures, they don't have that rental assistance program yet.
Got it. But it's the same program that you can challenge their declared hardship. That's what I wanted to know.
Right.
Okay. In residential, though, just to be clear, the $2.6 billion. Landlord, you face a wall. They say they have a hardship. You can't say that they're false. You don't have a reasonable belief to say they don't have a hardship. You can't get that hearing. At the very least, by you starting the eviction, the tenant's going to be told by the court how to go get those shekels, get that money, get them dollars from the $2.6 billion to pay you rent. Do I get that right?
Right.
That's huge. Don't you see that? Think that's huge?
Well, I'm thinking, are they regulating how that money gets to the landlord?
Well, let's talk about that. So let's assume, for example, the tenant then applies because they're told by the judge to apply. They go apply, right? If they don't qualify, can the landlord then evict?
If they do not qualify for rental assistance, then it could be a presumption that they're not experiencing a hardship.
Not a hardship. So then the landlord could go forward. So, but let's assume that they do qualify. They get the dollars. Does the money go to the tenant? I think that's what Lauren wants to know. Or does the money go to the court? Does it go to the Dalai Lama? Who does it go to?
So right now the procedure is that the money goes directly to the landlord.
Okay, good. Because if it's the tenant, they're going to go to Disney.
And just to be clear, Lauren, it's up to 12 months of past rent, arrears, old money, and up to 3 months of future rent. So you could get 15 months of rent.
Worth landlords going and evicting to get their money.
Just so maybe an eviction is no longer an eviction, but here's the downside. Leslie's had a few clients that landlords that didn't want the money. What happens if you take the money? What are you agreeing to if you're a landlord and you take the money, Leslie?
So if you do take the money, then that means you wouldn't be able to evict them on the arrears that they've already incurred.
The money they owe.
The money they owe, yes. Mm-hmm. You're also waiving late fees, and then you also wouldn't be able to increase your rent for a year. And lastly, and I think this is the most important of it all, is once their lease expires, you won't be able to evict them. You're pretty much required to extend their lease for up to 12 months after you receive the first payment.
But just to be clear, it's not extend their lease for free. It's extend their lease on the prior terms of the lease, meaning they still owe you the rent.
Yes.
So from a landlord's perspective, you're getting up to, and I think I'm saying this right, 15 months. And there's some months you're not getting right now, but first of all, they might extend the program and give you money for future months in the future. We don't know how the future holds because the future hasn't happened yet. But second of all, you still have a claim to that, so you'd be in a better position than you are today having that money.
Right.
And so let's assume you say to yourself, I don't want to give them another year. You say to yourself, I just want my money now. And maybe you're a commercial person, as you explained to me. You said, in commercial, this rental assistance money doesn't exist. Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
But I read when this law originally happened, about a year and a half ago, when New York started their eviction moratorium, I read that there was a lawsuit against Governor Cuomo back then. And it's called Elmsford Apartment Associates, LLC v. Cuomo. And they sued Cuomo and said, you can't have an eviction moratorium. It went to the Southern District of New York. And the Southern District of New York, the chief judge of the Southern District, wrote a very important decision. And I think commercial landlords need to hear this. So while they may not be able to do an eviction against someone experiencing a hardship, mind you, they can challenge the hardship as we did, have a hearing, have a great lawyer, get evidence, prove. And in commercial, showing there's less of a hardship is probably easier because they put their stuff out there. Like you can go see, you can have a private investigator watching how many slices of pizza the pizza place is selling. Like there's opportunity there to challenge it. But in commercial, where you can't get the money, the residential money, doesn't the judge, the chief judge, tell you what to do, Leslie? Doesn't he give you another option of what to do?
Yeah, so your other option, aside from evicting them in landlord-tenant court, is to start a breach of contract action in Supreme Court, basically asking the Supreme Court for a money judgment for all the arrears, all the rent they owe.
We're dealing with a tenant, a commercial tenant, so that's paying $10,000 a month. They haven't paid in a year, right? $120,000. We're not talking a residential $1,500 a month, $2,500 a month. We're talking commercial tenant $10,000 a month. It's $120,000. They're going, nah, nah, poo, poo. And they're telling you that there's a new eviction moratorium. What you should do next to smack them over the head and let them know that you're not playing games is say, I don't need to evict you. I'm going to get a money judgment against you. Once I get the money judgment against you, I'm going to ask the court to give me the shares of your business to satisfy the judgment, which you can do. I don't know if you know that. You could say, hey, Lauren, you're my tenant. You own a pizza place. I just got a money judgment against you. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to bring an application to say, hey, court, transfer her ownership in the business to me to satisfy my money judgment. And I could be very happy with this.
You always wanted to get into the pizza industry, didn't you?
Well, you know what it is? It's that I go, mozzarella. And so on that thought, Leslie, the way I read this new law, and I'm not sure if it's going to be upheld because there is a presumption the tenant's right. It's a rebuttable presumption that they have the hardship. That's legal mumbo jumbo, but that's probably going to go back all the way up to the Supreme Court, and it's already being challenged. I want to let everyone know this.
So it'll give us content for the next podcast.
Maybe. I'm just telling you the Rent Stabilization Association, which is a large landlord's lobby, has already said that they're suing, and here's what they wrote. We will seek injunctive relief from enforcement of the new law when it is passed, it already passed, and signed, it already signed, by the governor, and we will be moving to enforce the Supreme Court's 6-3 ruling of 3 weeks ago, I guess it was 3 weeks, not 2.5, that suspended in its entirety enforcement of Part A of the COVID-19 Emergency Eviction and Foreclosure Protection Act. In English, they're already suing on this thing. So it's possible, that they're going to be able to overturn this again because they're looking to precedent from the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court struck down the old New York law with this quote, no man can be a judge in his own case. And they're saying that because there's a presumption, even though it's rebuttable, that the tenant's right, maybe the tenant's still being kind of a judge. I don't know what's going to happen because it's 6-3 in the Supreme Court last time. So clearly everyone didn't agree to start off with. So who knows what's going to happen? I would say the trend is the Supreme Court striking down these things. But non-lawyers seem to see the trend of Supreme Court for or against moratoriums. And I think the Supreme Court's more against legal concepts. Like, and I don't mean to go too far into it right now, but the Texas abortion thing was very interesting when it got to the Supreme Court because they said, the whole argument when it was a 5-4 decision on that was saying Texas couched their law in that each individual can sue to enforce it as a private attorney general. And previously, when you sued a government for an abortion ban, you'd be suing the government directly. And they said, because they couched it in such a way that each individual citizen could do it, you're suing the wrong people. And so lawyers and judges are very into this nitty-gritty, technical mumbo-jumbo. You're not. You're listening to the Liebcast. Here's what you're interested in. You're a residential landlord. Start your evictions now. Hopefully, you're either going to get them evicted or, better yet, get them to apply and get money, just like Lieb suggested a few weeks back. The judge is going to make them get the money for you. That's the key. Commercial landlords, you have a choice. You can either go to evict and fight the qualification of the tenant based on a hardship with a good lawyer and get some evidence and show that they don't have a hardship. Or you can do as I've been suggesting for about a year now. Follow what Elmsford Apartment Associates v. Cuomo said, the judge, the chief judge of the Southern District of New York. Everyone's a tough guy. Everyone's protected by the law until you get a $120,000 judgment against them. Think about that. Have a great week. This is the Liebcast.
Find us on social media at Listen to Lieb or visit listentolieb.com.
Are you thinking about investing in real estate? If so, you need to order your copy of the book, 10 Strategies to Purchase Property Post-Pandemic. You need to get this book today. It's going to detail everything that you need to know from the time that you say, I want to invest, to the moment that you close on your next purchase. Before you make that next real estate investing decision, get your copy of 10 Strategies to Purchase Property at www.theliebcast.com. Lieb, L-I-E-B. Get your copy at theliebcast.com.